Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
But when it all, it all falls down, I'm telling you, it all falls down. But when it all,
y'all can't handle the truth.
Contrary to the word of God and justify themselves by saying, "The Lord knows my heart." Can we walk contrary to the scriptures as long as we believe our intentions are in the right place? Is that sufficient for God? The common stance seems to be, it is not what we do, but our intentions that count. Rather, is it necessary for our intentions and our actions to be according to what is written in the scriptures? We welcome you to join us as we examine the scriptures to see how God feels concerning these existing issues. That is, if you can handle the truth.
Shalom, brothers and sisters out there. We're the brothers from the Body of Christ Church and our Blog Talk Radio show is Can You Handle the Truth? And we examine the scriptures and bring out the lives that's out here today. Excuse us for a minute. The lives that are out here today, and we bring out the truth. And according to this topic today, the Lord knows my heart, is a very interesting topic because, well, first of all, my name is Dawa Yud. I forgot Dawa Yud, and I got Hashi Yud with me. You want to say a few words?
Well, just shalom, everybody. Most of Christ bless you.
He's a little under the weather right now, so excuse him for a minute. But anyway, the Lord knows my heart, and That's today's topic we're going into. The world views the Lord knows my heart not according to scriptures. They look at it as something that they can do. They can continue doing something wrong, but yet, like for instance, let's look at Christmas or right now New Year's. New Year's just went by, Christmas and New Year's. And you look at these things and they'll say that, yeah, these traditions came from, you know, a pagan origin, you know, and when I keep these holidays of this world, the Lord knows my heart. He knows that I'm not keeping it according to the pagan traditions that are derived from. I'm going to keep it in Christ. Like, that's okay. You can't do that. Just like we have homosexuals out here today. You have men that marry men or women that marry women, and they'll yell, "The Lord knows my heart." You know, what do you mean the Lord knows your heart? You're doing something against the commandments of the Most High God, and you're yelling, "The Lord knows my heart." So in today's topic, we want to see if you could really handle the truth according to the scriptures. What does it really mean, you know, to throw that out there, you know, so loosely, "The Lord knows my heart"? No, but according to scriptures, we're going to bring out what it is that your heart's supposed to be focused on, and what does it mean? What does heart really mean according to scriptures? The first scripture I want to go into is Genesis chapter 6. All right, Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 5. All right, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. See, we hear this all the time, "The Lord knows my heart," on a daily basis. I mean, literally, exactly. On a daily basis, we hear it. So, read this first verse.
6 and 1?
6 and 5.
Right. Genesis 6 and 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually."
All right, the point I want to focus on here is that, I'm going to read it again, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart." Now, I didn't know you could think with your heart. So what is the heart referring to? Where are your thoughts at, brother?
Your mind.
Your mind. So we want to try to make this clear that, according to scripture, when it's referring to the heart, is referring to the mind, because that's where your thoughts are, in your mind. So at this time, at this particular time, where the Most High God, when he made man in his image, he noticed that they started following wickedness and not following after the Most High God. So the Most High said, I'm going to read this again, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. So his heart's referring to his mind. So that means his mind, he was being more creative in his mind to become more wicked and stubborn and disobedient to God's word. This is what was happening back then, and it's still happening today. So let's go to a scripture in the New Testament that's going to basically say the same thing, but I want to bring it out also in the New. Because we have a lot of people that always talk about, oh, that's the Old Testament. So we always want to go to a scripture in the New Testament to back up what it's also saying in the New, as far as the New and the Old. All right, so we're going to Matthew chapter 15 and read verse 19.
All right, Matthew 15 and verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts.
So it's saying the same thing again, brother.
Exactly.
So out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. So the heart is referring to the mind, because that's where your thinking process is in your mind. So read that again, brother.
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts,
mm-hmm.
murders, adulteries, fornications, thieves.
Thefts,
false witness, blasphemies.
All right, so these things was going on back also in this time where the Most High wanted to destroy man because of the evilness of their imagination. You know what I mean? So
right.
It's the same thing that's going on when Christ came on the scene and he was teaching. And he was saying that the heart, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, and that's what we have today. Because these people out here today are, what are they doing out here today? We got all time on the blocks, on the streets today, we have it at an all-time high where the murder rate is increasing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
All because men are creating more evil thoughts in their mind to hate their brother or their sister. So people are selling drugs on the street. So while selling drugs on the street, a lot of times they compete with one another. A lot of times they get jealous of one another. A lot of times they're beefing and they kill one another. You know, sometimes people just murder people just for fun. Sometimes people murder people over their women because you slept with somebody else's wife and now they found out, now they coming back, you know, to murder you.
Because what it's shown us is that people have, when things happen in their life, they have thoughts on
mm-hmm.
how they're going to react, what they're going to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, how they're going to get this person back. And they meditate on these things. And that's why it's important for us. I don't want to jump ahead of you, brother, but
no.
why it's important for us to combat our thoughts with the word.
Exactly.
So if you're saying the Lord knows your heart and you're not combating your heart with the word.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Lord knows. The Lord is telling you about your heart. Your heart is wicked as wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to lead you into wickedness is your heart.
Yeah, because a lot of times you hear this thing all the time out here in this world today called premeditated murder,
mm-hmm.
where somebody's thinking about what they're going to do before they do it.
Exactly.
So this happens on a daily basis. You pick up your newspaper, you see it. You look at the news, you see it. You look on the YouTube, you see it. Murders happen all over the world. So the thing is, like you just finished saying, they're plotting ahead of time how they're going to stick this dude up and murder him, right? How they're going to murder him because they're jealous of him or whatever the case may be, but they're already plotting when they're going to do it, what hour they're going to do it. They're going to be waiting in the bushes, waiting for you to put his key into the door, whatever the case may be, they're already plotting. Also, you got, when you read on where it says murders and it says adulteries and fornication, what about a man out here? I can speak for myself when I was out in the world. When I seen a woman that looked nice, looked fly to me, you know, can dress, look fly, smell good, you know, a hottie. So when I see this woman, I want to step to this woman. I'm already thinking in my mind what I want to do with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already thinking in my mind how I'm going to approach this woman, what I'm going to say to this woman so I can pull this woman. Now I'm going to give her my number. We're going to exchange numbers, and then we're going to hook up. So in my mind, I'm already undressing her and what I'm going to do with this woman. I'm already premeditating what's going to happen before it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And And basically, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go down the way my mind already figured it out. Because this is the mindset of a wicked individual. Just like you got people out here sleeping with little boys. You got people out here, women sleeping with women or beasts or whatever the case may be. They thinking in their mind first, and then they react off of their thoughts in their mind. I'm going to read that one more time. This is Matthew 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. It's like you're looking for something.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Go. Give me Psalms chapter 119. Since we went into some of the wickedness of the heart of men, and when it refers to the heart, right back to the mind, how they think about things, just like when people go to jail. A lot of times people go to jail, and then when they get out, they try to become better at their craft. So if they were once a person selling drugs, when I go home this time, I'm going to be more creative and be more smart about it and go out there and do better. You know what I mean? They try to figure out their craft and their mistakes, what they made. So then when they go right back out into the world, you know, they could become more of a professional drug dealer, if I will, you know. Same thing with thieves and robbers. They do the same thing. They figure out their mistakes, what they did, and they go back to the drawing board, right? And they learn from other people that's in jail that's committing such crimes, and they learn from them too and get more creative. And they mix it with new things that they learn. They go out into the world again and try to master it and become smarter at their craft. But what happens is it's like a revolving door. They end up going right back to jail anyway. But you got some people that actually master their craft. And at some points in time, the Most High gives you mercy to repent. So hopefully people out there will repent of this madness with these evil thoughts in their mind.
Let me read one more part on this. I'm going to read 19 again. It says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man.
Mm-hmm.
But to eat with unclean hands defile not a man. So Christ is telling us that our thoughts do defile us.
Exactly.
So our thoughts aren't innocent. That's why we have the scriptures to combat evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say the Lord knows my heart or our thoughts and leave our thoughts the way it is, because he just told us that our personal thoughts defile us.
Exactly. So, all right, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, and I'm going to read verse 10 and 11, and it reads, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. I might not sin against thee. So it shows you in the scripture right here that our focus should be on the commandments. Our heart, meaning our mind, supposed to be focused on the commandments of God and not the evil intentions in our mind to do wickedness. So it reads, verse 10 again, with my whole heart, meaning your mind, have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the word is the commandments of the Most High God. So I'm going to hide them in my heart, meaning I'm going to hide them in my mind. So when the scriptures say, thou shalt not commit fornication, I'm going to remember that in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stay with me in my mind. So when I'm out in the world and a woman want to try to get with me, I'm going to tell her no. According to the scriptures, I already have a wife, and that's committing fornication.
But your own mind, your own heart, what would your own heart be thinking if you was operating without the word?
Oh, I'm going to get with her because who I was before I came into this world, to this word, that's who I was. So I would have definitely got with her, you know what I mean? But now that I got the word in my mind, meaning my heart and my mind, I'm not going to go against the commandments of the Most High God.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to do that. You can't make that right. I can't make that right and say God knows my heart, that my intentions are not to hurt you. I can't think like that. You know what I mean? I got to think like, nah, the Most High told me don't do it. I can't do it. So I can't rationalize and try to make up a law within me and make it right. I can't do that. Jump down to verse 34.
Psalms 119:34.
Mm-hmm.
Give me understanding and I shall know thy law, and I shall keep thy law.
Yeah, so the understanding is in the law, because you got to give me understanding so I could keep it. So give me understanding. When we read the law, we got to understand what it is to apply it to our lives. We got to understand how to apply it to our lives, just like we said a little while ago. It's not hard if a man reads the scripture, a man should not lay with man like he would lay with woman. That's not hard. But if you have a lust inside of you that want to sleep with that man, that's what makes it hard, but you have to fight that temptation off. You understand what the law has said, so now you got to keep the law. Keep that law, what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Read it again.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.
See, with my whole mind, I'm going to observe this law. With my whole mind. You know? And that's what we're supposed to do. We got to understand what it is to worship God in spirit and in truth. We cannot take the scripture and make it fit what we want it to fit because of our lust and say the Most High knows my heart. We cannot do that according to scriptures. We can't do that. Read that one more time, brother, verse 34.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.
Give me Matthew chapter 6. I want to bring out a couple examples real quick and bring out a couple points, some more points to add to it. When you got a scripture, you can pull it out anytime you want. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6 to go more into this heart thing and dealing with the mind and understanding what Christ really wants. So now we understand in the beginning, we laid the foundation that, you know, that the heart's referring to the mind, and also that there was evil thoughts and wicked people to create more wickedness, to create murder, fornication, adultery, you know, to be a thief, all right, to commit murder. All these things are evil. So these thoughts of men are evil when you think that way. But now when you put your heart, your whole heart into the law and the commandments and the understanding of what the law is and apply it to your life, that's what we're supposed to focus on. Our heart, meaning our mind, is supposed to be focused on that and not focus on the opposite that's contrary to the Most High God. All right? And we also, we're going to go into other things too, but like I said earlier about New Year's and Halloween and Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas. Are these things of God, brother?
No, absolutely not.
So when these people say that the Lord knows my heart when I'm keeping these days, are they right in the eyes of God?
No. Yeah, they're right, because the Lord does know their heart.
Yeah, he knows that you committing wickedness.
That you're being rebellious.
And that your thoughts are wicked. So read Matthew chapter 6 and start at verse 19.
Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Stop there for a minute. So just like we see the treasures right now on earth, materialistic things people are getting. They got diamonds, jewelry, gold, whatever, a whole lot of money saved up, bonds, whatever, something worth value. They got these things hidden. But we also know that there are people out here that steal from people, right?
Yeah.
And could take your treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's happening all over the world. So we understand that the treasures, when it refers to the treasures of God, can't nobody take that. Nobody can take the treasures of the Most High God. Because your treasures are in heaven. That's where your treasures are. We're going to go a little bit into that in a minute, but read verse 21.
For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also.
So where your treasure is where your heart going to be. Just like you see some of these churches that set up today, some of these pastors, you got to give them tithes. You got to give them 10% of your earnings, right? And giving them your money, they're telling you, money coming to me right now, right? And you giving them your money. Now, they're teaching you in return that you're going to get your money back with interest. So the church is like a business. You're going to invest in the pastor, and the pastor's telling you you're going to receive money in return, but tenfold or a hundredfold, whatever the fold may be, this is the dream they're selling you, right? But your mind ain't supposed to be on that treasure. Your mind's supposed to be on the laws and statutes and commandments of the Most High God. That's where your mind's supposed to be. Not on earth, not on worried about materialistic gain. Fret not because of evil doers, the scriptures tell you. Never mind keeping up with the Joneses. Never mind giving your money to a pastor so you can receive money 100-fold. Never mind that. Our treasure is supposed to be in heaven. So our treasures are, if someone is a fornicator and you learn the scriptures, thou shalt not fornicate, and you stop fornicating, that is part of your treasure. When you when you were keeping Christmas and now you understand Feast of Dedication, you no longer keep Christmas because it's pagan roots. It originated from pagan customs, and you repent it and stop serving it, and now you learn the feast of the Lord, and now you follow that. That's keeping treasures in heaven.
Exactly.
So people, you got to understand where your treasure's supposed to be focused on. Read verse 21 one more time.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So what's your heart again, brother?
Your mind.
Your mind. So your mind's going to be focused on what again?
Material things. if that's where your treasures are, on this world, then that's what you're going to be focused on, this world.
Mm-hmm. But on the flip side,
if you're on the commandments of the Most High, then your mind's going to be on righteous things, spiritual things that's pleasing to the Lord.
So when we see the scriptures where it tells us the feast of the Lord in Leviticus chapter 23, when you read that, he tells us these are the feasts of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So when he breaks down all the feasts, the Passover, unleavened bread, all the way down, you know, to the Day of Atonement. So when you read all these things, you'll see that these are the feasts of the Lord, not Thanksgiving, not Easter, not Christmas, not New Year's. So your mind's supposed to be focused on the feast of the Lord. Your mind's supposed to be focused on the laws of the Lord. Don't commit adultery, steal, murder, kill, you know, all these things your mind's supposed to be focused on, because that's your treasure. So your heart's supposed to be focused on the laws of the Most High God, not going into your own vain thoughts of your mind to try to make it right, saying the Lord knows my heart and he knows when I serve Christmas, I'm doing it because it's in Christ. No, it's not in Christ. It's in the Son God is what it's in. Going right back to the Son God. It's not in Christ. But you're trying to make it like it's Christ, and if you keep it and you're giving gifts to your children, it's all about the kids, and you're doing these things, you're thinking it's right with God, where your heart, your mind is focused on pagan traditions, and your mind isn't focused on the true ceremonies of the Most High God.
You know what? It's so sad too. Let me get a scripture real quick. Deuteronomy the 30th chapter, verse 11. Because it's so sad because like I listen to these shows a lot, the Blog Talk shows, and brothers be bringing out evidence. They be going in the scriptures, pulling the scriptures out, and trying to show people what God says. And when you look at the scriptures that they're bringing out, it's so crystal clear.
Exactly.
And these people, a lot of these people that are into these pagan customs of this world, these are not stupid people, you know. These are very intelligent people.
Mm-hmm.
These are people with degrees. They've been to college. They're well educated.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand how something that is so clear, written in the Bible, that they would turn their backs on it and go after their own lust. Mm-hmm. So read that for me, Deuteronomy 30 and 11, please.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Keep going.
Yeah.
It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?
So the Bible is right here. It's not hidden. It's not hidden. It's right here. Everybody got it. People go to church. They got it in their house.
That's right.
It's in the hotels.
That's right.
It's in the bookstores. It's all over the place. So what is your excuse? Your excuse is that you want to do the lust. You want to do what the heck you want to do. That's basically the bottom line, because we know these people are intelligent.
That's right.
You know, these people got, you know, you got a lot of people in these churches with all kind of degrees in school. But when it comes to the Word of God, now all of a sudden they don't know how to read.
All of a sudden they stupid.
All of a sudden they ignorant. You know? And the Bible is real clear. Mm-hmm. It's real clear what we have to do. It's real clear that we're not supposed to be following these customs. Many people got computers. They can go on the computer. It's very easy to look up the computers, look at the origins of Christmas,
mm-hmm.
look at the origins of New Year's, and find out where these things come from. And these people, they know how to do this. So they're basically playing games, man.
The funny thing is, too, when you go to school and you go to college, you got to do research papers, man.
Yeah.
You got to research. You got to Google it, YouTube it, whatever you want to do to it to get this information.
Exactly.
And when it comes to the Bible, all of a sudden, you don't know how to research. It's just, come on. Because you know why? Because your heart ain't right with God. Because your mind don't want to really be focused on what God got to say. And a lot of people out there, you know what it is? They're afraid. This is our topic of our program. You can't handle the truth. Or can you handle the truth? Yeah. Now, the whole thing is, can you handle the truth? They're afraid to find out what the truth is. That's what the problem is, because when the truth comes out, you're afraid of it. You cover your ears like we got up there with the pictures that we got posted up there. You cover your ears and you don't want to hear the truth. Why? Because you're afraid that once you hear the truth, all these years you've been living in a lie, and it's hard for you to deal with. But brothers and sisters, you have to examine the scriptures, because this is your life we're talking about. Your heart needs to be right with God. You need to understand what God wants from you. You talk about the Lord knows your heart. Well, you know what? You better find out what it is you're supposed to be serving with your whole heart in order to make it into the kingdom, because this ain't something to play around with. I'm going to read this scripture one more time. I want to read this one more time. It's a hot scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm going to read verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven. That thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?
Yeah, so it's not hid.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain, it's clear. You got a lot of brothers bringing out the scriptures, explaining it, giving you understanding, even going into history, showing you that these things are the customs of this world are all into sun god worship. The customs of the world been sun god worship going way back. As far as you can go back, the world's been into sun god worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only people the Lord made his self known to was the children of Israel.
Exactly.
And then it was perverted. The word of God was perverted during the time of the Roman Empire under Constantine,
mm-hmm.
and brought back under sun god worship.
That's right.
And that's what people are into. They're into sun god worship. And like we said, it's not something that's hard to find out.
Oh, man.
You know, it's not something hard to find out at all. It's just that people, like, they want to close their ears because they feel that if they don't know or if they don't hear, that they'll be justified, because they think they could come before the throne of Christ and say, well, I didn't know. That's not how it's going to work. Whether you sin in ignorance or whether you sin, you know, willfully,
mm-hmm.
you're still going to be judged on it.
That's right.
Sin is sin.
Exactly.
You have to repent. We have to repent and stop and put these things from us, man. We have to stand up for truth. We have to stand up for righteousness.
Exactly.
And that's what the Most High requires of us.
Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 10, since you said that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and go right into a couple points. And a lot of time it's like a broken record, you know. I know brothers always say, how many times are we going to talk about these subjects? We done freaking talked about Christmas probably a month straight in December. Now January come around, and New Year's. They done did so many shows on New Year's now. Halloween, all kind of different things, man. How many times we got to do these shows, man? How many times? We sound like a broken record almost every time.
Yeah, until Christ returns, we're going to keep pushing it out.
Because nobody really wants to follow the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's read verse 5.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lust. Neither be idolaters,
mm-hmm.
as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Yeah, so, it's, you know what? Let's just go to it. Let's go to it real quick. I'm sorry. Go to Exodus. We'll explain it more in Exodus. I want to make this point clear before we move on. Exodus chapter 32. Let's just knock this out. Let's read this. Exodus chapter 32. Read verse, start at verse 1. We're going to read a couple scriptures on this.
Exodus 32 and 1.
Yeah.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at the hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool. After he had made it into a molten calf, and they said, These be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Now check that out. Now the thing that's so funny is that they're gonna make two golden calves, right? And say, These be the gods that took us out of the land of Egypt. Are you serious?
Yeah.
After they done seen the great wonders and signs that the Most High has showed through the hand of Moses, man, by departing that Red Sea, by killing off the Egyptians, by killing the firstborn, by sending all the plagues on Egypt. Then you got a nerve. You got a nerve to disrespect the Most High God by saying, These be the guys that brought us out of the land of Egypt? We can't tempt the Lord like they did in the wilderness. Because that's what's happening in these churches today. They're looking into the sun god worship, and think, These be the guys that took you out of the land of Egypt. No. This is not the same God that took you out of the land of Egypt.
That's an excellent point. Because when you look at the golden calf, it's going back into a bull. Actually, it's a bullock or a bull, which is an image of the so-called sun god.
Exactly.
Which they were worshiping back in Egypt as being going back to worshiping the sun god. That's all it is. They're going back to that philosophy of worshiping the sun god. And when they worship Christmas, they're going back into the same philosophy and saying it's for Christ. So that's the same thing they're doing there. They're saying that this is the God that brought us out of Egypt.
We're going to bring that out. Keep reading. Read verse 5.
And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Stop there for a minute. We just read in 1 Corinthians a little while ago about how they rose up to play. So the rose up to play don't mean they was playing kickball or soccer or basketball. You know what I'm saying? It's just going into how they kept their feast. Now, when you read verse 5 again, it says, And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation because he announced that this is going to be a feast to the Lord. So they made up a feast.
A celebration.
Just like they did with December 25th. Just like they're doing with New Year's, just like they're doing with Thanksgiving. They're making up a feast and saying that these be the God, like this is the power that delivered you. And they made up a feast in that honor. Read verse 7.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for the people which thou boughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves.
These people are corrupt because of what they just did. They made up a feast, though. Now,
wait a minute. The Lord knows their heart.
Yeah, the Lord knows the heart that this feast is going to be towards you, Lord.
Yeah.
Not actually towards the calves, but they're going to be towards you. No, you.
Also, God that brought them out of Egypt.
You're corrupt because your mind ain't right with the Most High God. Read on.
Verse 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them.
Check that out.
They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. And have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Now check that out. Go back to, let's go to Acts. Now I'm going to bring it out.
Yeah.
We brought it out before, but let's bring it out right now. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 40. And it's going to bring it out that in the time of Christ, that the same thing was going on. But now it's going to go more into detail and explain exactly what we were saying, that it was going to the sun worship, that was going right back to astrology. But let's read. Acts chapter 7, verse 40.
Acts 7 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their hands.
Okay.
Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven.
Say that again.
Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven.
Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. When you look into the sky, what are the hosts of heaven? You know, we have many shows on dealing with the hosts of heaven, dealing with the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. That's the host of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is what the calves represent, like you said earlier. These worship of the calves was an honor of the host of heaven.
The sun god.
The sun god. But we continue reading. It's going to give us the answer anyway. Let's read on. Read verse 42 again.
Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness?
So they was doing this 40 years in the wilderness. They were worshiping this thing 40 years in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. Read on.
Verse 43. You took up the tabernacle of Molech.
Check that out. Read that one more time.
You took up the tabernacle of Molech.
Now, people out there, like I said earlier, right? Google it, YouTube it, or whatever you want to do to it. When you find out what Molech means, then you're going to understand it's the worship of the sun. Because the Molech was another name for the sun god for the Ammonites. So it was the worship of the sun anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So read it one more time. Read it all the way through, 43.
You took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god, Rimphah.
Rimphah. So that star of Rimphah, so when you look up Rimphah, it's going to talk about Saturn. It's going to come up as Saturn. Because it's letting you know that we said this before about the Greeks, the Romans. They didn't just worship the sun by itself. They worship all the planets that went with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
They worship all the planets also. So we got to understand that these people out here, these other nations, these heathen, these are the things they worship, man. They love worshiping the planets, the sun, the moon, and the stars. They just fascinated for whatever reason. Israel ain't supposed to do that. Israel ain't supposed to worship the host of heaven. You see? Read that one more time, verse 43.
Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Molech,
mm-hmm.
and the stars of your god, Rimphah,
mm-hmm.
figures which he made to worship them,
mm.
and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.
And that's the sad. You know what's so deep about carrying your way to Babylon?
Yeah.
Because that's where we got it from in the first place. We got it from the place of Babel. All this worshiping of the host of heaven derived from after the flood. It came from Babel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how we went into captivity, and our worst captivity, according to the scriptures, one of the worst, if not the worst, was during the time we went into the Babylonian captivity.
Yeah, it was around before the flood, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was, and then it repeated itself.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. they still had the artifacts and everything
mm-hmm.
that their forefathers before the flood was worshiping, and they picked up the customs of their forefathers that got destroyed for being evil,
mm-hmm.
and they decided to follow them again and go right back into the same madness.
Exactly.
Because really what it is worship. Is the reason why it's still around,
mm-hmm.
because it all goes back to worshiping Satan.
Exactly.
And that's what they're dealing with.
And they're dealing with witchcraft. When you go on verse 43 where it talks about the star of your god, Rimphah, is talking about that star David that the so-called Israelites holding on to out here, these so-called groups of the Israelites that call themselves Israelites and they're wearing that shield. And you got the so-called Jewish people over there wearing this wicked star. It's going right back into witchcraft. It's going right back to astrology. It's going right back to the planets. It's all connected. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, people, you have to do your research and find out these things. And it's not hard to find out. Like we said, it's not hard. And then when you read the Bible, you see what's taking place. It's easy to match up. You know what's evil and what's good. But it's all about getting your heart right with God and doing what's good and not trying to justify, you know, what's wicked and try to make it good. You can't do that.
Exactly.
You can't do that according to the Most High God.
Let me pull out a quote of scripture.
Pull out a couple, whatever.
Romans 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's another scripture we hit a lot.
Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 10.
Yeah, verse 1.
All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Yeah, we see that. We see a lot of people have a zeal to worship God. They mm-hmm. go to church. Some people, I know in my family, my sister, my moms, they lived in church. They would go to church like 7 days a week. And just don't let Sunday come around. You don't see them the whole day. They come home late at night.
That's true.
That's a hell of a zeal.
Yeah.
And then when I started studying about Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's funny. All the time she spent in church, when I started studying about, you know, we being the Israelites, I approached her about it. She didn't even know what Israel was.
Wow.
You talking about somebody that lived in church.
Wow.
And I approached them about Israel, asked them questions about, you know, the Israelites, and she was like, Israel, what's that?
Wow.
Israel is all over the Bible.
Yeah, it is.
How could you not know what Israel is? So that shows you they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge.
Exactly.
And she's an intelligent woman. She's been to college and everything. You know what I'm saying? She's not like a dummy. She's been to college.
Yeah.
She got a degree in nursing. You know how complicated it is to be a nurse?
Mm-hmm.
She got a degree in nursing, and she did not know a simple question about who the Israelites are.
Wow.
Because they're not reading. They're spending all this time dancing, doing backflips, and singing, and, you know, doing all the motions that they go through, but yet they're not learning. They're not seeking the knowledge of God. They're not researching. They're not, you know, putting their heart into this to learn. So read that again for me, brother.
Yeah. Start at verse 1?
No, read 2. Did you read 2 yet?
Yeah, I read 2. Read 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Read verse 3, right?
Yeah.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God.
Yeah, so they're going about their own ways to be righteous. They're doing things that's not according to what God says we have to do.
Exactly.
You know, they set up their own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas. Did God say for us to keep Christmas? No. Mm-hmm. Worship on Sunday. Did he tell us to worship on Sunday? No.
Mm-hmm.
What about the Sabbath? God said we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. They don't deal with that. You know, so they set up their own righteousness,
mm-hmm.
and you can't do it according to your own righteousness. You have to submit yourselves to the righteousness of God. You know, you have to read. That's why we was looking at that video on YouTube where you had Crefro speaking to his congregation. You know, Lord willing, we'll probably play that video in the near future where he was telling them that you didn't come here to be fed. You came here to fulfill me and my wife's vision. And which is another plea for money, because their vision requires money, because they want to build a bunch of mega churches all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying the purpose the people came here was to fulfill him and his wife's vision, but not to be fed. How many scriptures come in your mind immediately that tells you that that's false? I mean, when I first heard it, it was like scriptures was flying all over the place. Where the Most High said, feed the flock. Glory to the pastor that feed not the flock.
People not reading
themselves.
Yeah, people not reading the Bible for themselves.
They're not reading. That's the whole
mm-hmm.
point.
See, the thing is with these churches, right? This is what a lot of these churches out here. Not every single church, so don't get offended. But most of these churches, all right, out here that's teaching the word or so-called teaching the word. You know what they do is, right? They focus a lot on speaking in tongues. That takes up a lot of your time. They focus a lot on giving money. That also takes up a lot of your time. Right. So these things they always focus on, and they're entertaining you with the music, the choir, you know, all these things. But yet they need to feed you the word of God. That's why Creflo's, oh, man, he's a demon, because you need to be fed the word of God so you can know how to repent. That's how you're going to make it to the kingdom. Not to fulfill your vision ain't gonna help me none to make it into the kingdom.
Exactly.
You know, I got to learn not to commit adultery. You know what I'm saying? I got to overcome that. And selling drugs or these women out here being strippers or whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, how to deal with my wife. I mean, if you don't learn how to deal with your wife, if he's not teaching you how to deal with your wife, then how your relationship could fall apart.
Yeah, how am I raise my children? How do I raise my children according to the scriptures? Instead, I got to fulfill your vision. You're not supposed to teach me to repent and keep my house together? I mean, people, it's so evident that these pastors out here are in the scriptures to manipulate you for their vision. Like Creflo said, I'm using his words for his vision. And Lord's will, we'll bring that clip out in another show, another topic. But with that, we're going to go to a break, I guess, and we'll be back.
We're going to do a promo now?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you found one already.
Yo, how long these devils think they're going to escape, man? Go on and expose them. Reverends doing witchcraft and abominations. They say they're of the Lord, but they're the friends of Satan. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We got devils walking around with human faces. Divining witches and psychics will bring a curse. But what's worse is cats is teaching this up in the church. Filthy lies and blasphemy is what it is. The Most High said he would not suffer a witch to live. So we examine and reprove all these sinful demons. Now get your Bibles out, cause it's repentance season. Submit yourselves to the will of the Most High Might. Open your eyes and turn from darkness to the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Repent from witchcraft and the occult. Shalom.
The brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's Word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works according to the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. We're back. The Lord knows my heart. That's today's topic. And we're just trying to bring out the scriptures as far as what does it mean dealing with the heart. And what does it mean to follow the Most High God with your whole heart? And to realize that you cannot take something that's against the Most High, against His commandments, and then somehow make it right in your mind, you know what I mean? And convince yourself that it's still okay to do what's wicked, and the Lord knows your heart, that your intentions aren't bad. No, your intentions are bad if anything is contrary to the Most High God. You cannot be a homosexual, a man sleeping with a man, a woman sleeping with a woman, and say the Lord knows my heart. No, you cannot do that. Why? Because it's against the laws of the Most High God. You cannot serve Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, New Year's. Why? Because it's not written in the Bible. It was not commandment from the Most High God. It was not ordained from the Most High God. He did not say, keep this day, keep on this month, on this day, for the rest of your lives. It is not written in the Bible. But we have the Passover. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? We have Pentecost. We have all these days written in the Bible to keep. And it'll tell you the month, the day, and it'll tell you to keep it forever. That is written in the Bible. Okay? So, let's go to Matthew chapter 15, and let's start at verse 7.
Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Now, their heart, meaning their mind. See, we say this all the time, and it's like a broken record all the time that we repeat these things constantly, but it needs to be repeated, all right? Now, we hear people screaming out, Lord, Lord, like the scripture says, right? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And all these things the Bible tells us about. But the Lord never knew you. Why? Because you never departed from iniquity. You want to follow the vain imagination of your own heart, meaning your own mind, or you want to follow your pastor and their vision. That's what you want to follow. You want to follow your grandmother, your husband, your wife, your friend, whatever it may be, whoever it may be, or your own lust of your own heart, chasing the dollar bill, chasing your career, whatever it may be, it became your idol. Why? Because you wasn't serving the God with your whole heart, learning his commandments and his statutes. So guess what? You're falling short of making it into the kingdom. But now you have to understand that we cannot follow the doctrines of men. You cannot follow what is contrary to the Most High God and think it's okay to say Jesus Christ's name with it. You can't do that. You can't say December 25th and put Christ's name up there. You can't say you're a homosexual and put Christ's name up there in these churches. You cannot do that. That's blaspheming. Read that scripture one more time. Verse 8.
This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Read.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
Because that's exactly what's going on in these churches today. This is exactly what's going on. Vain meaning worthless. You're doing the deeds that you're doing, these ceremonies, these traditions,
customs,
these customs, these rites and ceremonies, they're all in vain, meaning they're worthless. The Most High is not honoring that. That is not being honored by the Most High God. Not at all. When you're out here committing adultery and fornication and you think it's all right, it's not all right with God. A man is not going to be a man. That's the saying of the world. Well, a man's going to be a man. Girls, you know, just, you know, get over it. Man's going to be a man. No.
A demon's going to be a demon.
Yeah, a demon's going to be a demon. That's wickedness in the eyes of the Most High. You need to repent. You know, you need to leave that man first and foremost. This man, you don't know what disease he might be bringing home to you. You know, so this thing is, we got to follow the commandments of the Most High God. You can't make it right in your own mind and accept that, because you're not going to make it into the kingdom, man. It's just not going to happen for you. So that's why it's very important for us to repent and understand with our whole heart what it is that we need to follow according to what? According to the scriptures. You know, give me Psalms 81. We're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 81. All right. The book of Psalms, chapter 81, and we're going to read verse 8.
Psalms 81 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god.
So he's letting us know straight up, I'm the only God. So if something strange come about, what does strange mean? something foreign, mm-hmm. something you never heard before. If this ever comes about, don't follow that way. That's what the Most High God is telling us. He's telling us, do not follow the way that is not of the Most High. Period. Read on.
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
So it ain't the calves that brought you out of the land of Egypt. It ain't the host of heaven that brought you out of the land of Egypt. These are strange gods among you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Not this man's vision did not bring you out of the land of Egypt. The sun god did not bring you out of the land of Egypt.
Or another man. Because sometimes people are into worshiping men.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, let's read this real quick and see what's going on. No, I'll read that. You go ahead and look at that real quick. All right, so this is Psalms chapter 81. And I'm going to read verse 9. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And that's what happened back in the time of Israel when we got cast off, and that's what's happening right now. You want to check that out? All right, and that's what's happening right now is that a lot of people are going into their own counsel. their counsel is supposed to be of the Most High God, but instead they're going to their own thoughts and their own mind, trying to follow the Most High God in their own way. And you can't do that. Exactly. You can't do that. Where's that at? All right, go ahead. Read verse 10 and 11.
I am the Lord God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people were not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walk in their own counsels. O my people, if ye had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries.
Yeah, because that's even to this day right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because a lot of people out here don't realize that the Most High got our back, you know, and that he's going to fight our wars, you know what I mean? That he's going to pay back, you know, the reproaches of those out there. He's going to pay back those that's going to try to harm you, hurt you, defile you, turn on you. The Most High God is going to pay back. You don't have to pay them back. You don't have to recompense evil for evil because the Most High said, I am your God, and he's going to defend you, and he's going to deal with them. So even to this day, it's going to happen. Even back then, we had a chance to not go into captivity, but we didn't want to hearken to the Most High God. So he's trying to tell us now to repent so he could deliver us from any evil that's going to come upon us today.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
I'm going to read this verse mm-hmm. 12 again. It says, so I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walk in their own counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on, too. A lot of people, either you're walking in the counsel of the Most High, or you're walking in your own counsel. And that's what people are doing. When they go after these pagan days, or go after their lusts, or, you know, do things because they feel like, and, you know, whatever opinion, whatever reason they have, they are walking in their own counsel, and they're going after their own lusts. So when you say the Lord knows my heart, yeah, the Lord knows your heart, that you are following your own lust and you're going after your own counsel. Because the battle we fighting is we are fighting our lust. We are fighting against our own heart. We are fighting against our own counsel. We're not supposed to be walking into our own counsel. Because if you're walking into your own counsel, you're walking according to your flesh. You're pleasing your flesh. And you're not in the fight. The fight is that we have to do these things. That's why it's a scripture we read all the time. It's a 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter.
Uh-huh.
It talks about the battle of our warfare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not carnal, but spiritual, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds
mm-hmm.
and casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because that's what we're doing. That's the battle.
Exactly.
We're fighting our thoughts. Because our thoughts are contrary to God. Our thoughts is about
doing the things that's pleasing to our flesh. Idolatry is pleasing to your flesh. Let me get that scripture real quick, too, about the works of the flesh real quick.
All right.
In Galatians. I'm going to do that real quick.
Actually, you know what? Before you even go there, I want to read this one scripture and I'll give it to you.
All
right. Go to Isaiah chapter 30 real quick, and then I'm going to give it to you. We're going to book Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to read verse 1. Because I want to deal with the counsel a little bit of these other people out here, because they're not taking counsel of the Lord, so what counsel are they taking?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's read Isaiah 30 and read verse 1.
Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord.
So rebellious, meaning you being stubborn, you don't want to listen. Just like you have kids today that are stubborn, and you got to tear their behinds up. They don't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do what the Bible tells you to put them in check, because they're being rebellious. You don't want to hear, you don't want to listen to your father or your mother. Okay, well, then you gotta reap the repercussions of that. You gotta be punished. Something's gonna have to take place. Read that one more time.
Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me.
Yeah, because they're taking counsel, but not of the Lord. Because why I gotta correct them for? Because they're taking a different counsel.
Yeah.
And it's not of the Lord. So if the Lord tells us, we've been saying this all the time, the Lord tells you don't steal, but you want to steal anyway. That counsel didn't come from God.
That's your own heart, your own lust.
Yeah, which is going into Satan. You fell short. You're going right into that demonic state of mind, and that's what you want to follow. Okay? That counsel of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's is not of the Lord. That's a different counsel that is not of God. You're being rebellious, children. You're being rebellious. Read it one more time.
Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit.
Because it's not the Holy Spirit that's dealing with you.
Exactly.
It's the evil spirit that's on you. That's where you got your counsel from. That evil spirit. But you don't want to believe it, though. But that's what it is. The evil spirit that's telling you it's okay to commit such acts that's against the laws of the Most High God. That's not a Holy Spirit in you. That's an evil spirit in you. Read.
That they may add sin to sin.
Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to keep adding sin into sin. It's going to keep building up. Why? Because your counsel ain't of the Most High God. So you adding more sin to more sin to more sin to more sin. Which is going to equal death. Because the wages of sin is death. So your counsel got to be of the Most High God. You better find out what the counsel of the Most High God is, or you're going to receive damnation according to the scriptures. I'll give it back to you.
Okay, see, because this adds on to what we was just saying, because what it is people are refusing the counsel of God because they have lust that they want to fulfill and things that they want to do, which is contrary to the scriptures. That's why it tells us Galatians 5:16, please.
All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So that's what they're doing. They're not walking in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're fulfilling the lust of their flesh, and they're putting the Bible to the side.
Because
the Bible is the spirit. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. That's what Christ said, right? So his words are spiritual. So we have to walk in his words, or else we're going to be going into some other counsel. We're going to be going into what the world is doing. Because it feels good to follow the world.
Exactly.
Right, we know.
Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry.
So when we look at all these things, these are things that people have in them,
mm-hmm.
that's in their heart.
Exactly.
That they want to fulfill. Even though the Bible has things that's contrary to what their heart is telling them, because the scripture just said, these two are contrary to one another. So when you say the Lord knows your heart, you got to understand that your heart is contrary to the word of God. So you have to be in this battle. You have to be fighting these things. You have to be fighting these thoughts. You can't just go with them and say the Lord knows your heart. But yeah, the Lord knows your heart is wicked and you're not... And you're submitting to the will of your heart, and you're doing things that are contrary to his word. That's what he knows.
Exactly.
So you cannot do the things that you will. You can't follow your heart and please God. The scriptures tell us that in Romans. Mm-hmm. For those that are in the flesh, it is impossible to please God.
Exactly.
So read that last verse for me again.
19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies.
So when you read all these things like idolatry, idolatry is the work of the flesh, and it's a vibration, it's a spirit that's on you that you have to fight. Just like someone that's committing adultery or someone that has a fornication. Fornication is unlawful sex.
Yeah.
You might be somebody that's a homosexual, and you have a burning passion within you to lie with a man.
Yeah.
But that's something you have to fight. Just like the man that's committing idolatry. We might see, like, for us, we keep the high holy days of the scriptures. We may see somebody keeping Christmas and say, man, that's nothing. But to them, that could be a lust that they have to fight.
Yeah, it's a hard thing because to them, it's coming together with their family, the opening of the gifts, the dinner, the days off, celebrating. They've been doing it all their lives, but people that commit fornication will commit fornication all their lives.
Exactly. So just like they got to fight that demon, you got to fight. That's your demon. You got to fight.
Exactly.
It's no different. You can't look down on the man that's committing fornication and say, oh, he's wicked. And yet you commit an idolatry.
Yeah. Don't make no sense.
What's the difference? We all got fights we got to fight. But the point is that are you fighting or are you just giving into it?
That's right.
Are you giving it? You can't just give into your lust and say the Lord knows my heart.
Can't do that.
That's wicked, man. That's wicked. That means you're not dealing with it. You're not dealing with it and you're giving into it. And you think you're going to be justified? That's not what the scriptures have shown us. The scriptures have shown us contrary to that. Scriptures have shown us that we have a fight that we have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a battle. Let's read that real quick. And I know I quoted it, but I want to read it, and I'll give it back to you. 2 Corinthians 10, because I think it makes a good point.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I read verse 3. For the weapons, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
So when we read about, we just read in Galatians 5 where it talks about the lust, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, idolatry, fornication, and emulation, variance, sedition, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
These are things people have to fight, right?
Exactly.
So right here it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. So mighty through God is this word, which is going to pull down the stronghold. So these things got a stronghold on people.
Exactly.
The idolatry, it has a stronghold on people.
Mm-hmm.
The fornication, it has a stronghold on people.
Mm-hmm.
But with this weapon, which is the word of God and repentance through Christ, it has the ability to pull these strongholds off of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's our weapon. And we have to be, and we can't just give in to those strongholds and say, the Lord knows my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not using the weapon. You're not using it. Read 4 again for me, please.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
See, casting down imagination, because these things are coming up, these works of the flesh are coming up on us in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Imagination is in your heart, in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you casting down these imaginations. You're not giving into it and saying, the Lord knows my heart. You casting these imaginations down through the word of God.
That's right.
It says, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I mean, the words of this Bible, the words of the Spirit. These things are exalting itself against what the Bible says. Christmas is exalting itself against what the Bible says. The word the word of God says don't do it.
Exactly.
It's idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cast it down. It's exalting itself against the word of God.
Prosperity doctrine. You got to cast it down.
Yeah.
It's against what the word of God is saying.
Exactly.
You know, the root of all money is evil, man. You know, the love of the root of all money is evil. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are chasing after the dollar bill and using the word of God for you to invest in them so you can get more money back in return.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cast that down. You got to fight that spirit. You know, you got to fight that.
Yeah, and this is and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So these things had us in captivity,
mm-hmm.
but we got to bring these things in captivity to the obedience of Christ.
We got to lock it up.
Yeah, we got to bring that idolatry
mm-hmm.
to the obedience of Christ. Christ said we can't do those idolatrous practices.
Mm-hmm.
It's not of him. We got to bring in the fornication to the obedience of Christ. We got to bring our anger, our hatred. We want to seek vengeance and get somebody back. We got to bring that to the obedience of Christ. I mean, what does Christ say about it?
So that man that you said that was once had a lot of hatred inside his mind, that hatred man, you putting him in prison and you're locking him up and you're throwing away the key. You gotta lock that man up, that demon up. That's what it's going into. So that fornication spirit, you gotta lock him up. That murderous spirit, you gotta lock him up.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta lock him up.
Yeah.
You gotta fight it in your mind. Lock that individual up in your mind so he doesn't escape, man.
Yeah, you can't entertain it and say the Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows how this is what I want to do, but I'm gonna get this nigga back.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord knows I didn't really want to get him back.
Yeah.
I wanted to be righteous, but I'm gonna get his ass back.
Yeah, yeah. You crazy.
Yeah, the Lord knows you being rebellious against his word because you know what his word said, but you're doing what you want to do anyway.
Yeah.
So the Lord knows your heart. That's not going to cut it, man.
Keep going?
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it. All right. You know what? Since you said that, go to 1 Samuel. Let's knock this out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know we always go to this scripture dealing with this topic. 1 Samuel 15, we went into this in Feast of Dedication, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, read verse 22 and 23.
All right, 1 Samuel 15 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
Yeah, so people that don't know this story, read the whole chapter when you have time. You know, read chapter 15 here when you have time and see what the Most High God was talking about as far as Saul was concerned. You know, he was told to kill off everyone, man, woman, and child, animal, everything, the cat and dog, the whole nine yards. Now, he didn't perform these things and kept some of these sacrifices to give to the Most High God anyway. All right. Now the Most High God said, no, I want you to listen to me, then give me some darn sacrifices.
Yeah.
I told you not to even keep these animals, and you want to just give them to me anyway? So your intentions in your mind were good to do it, so you thought. But the Most High God said, no, listen to my word. Don't create your own understanding, you know what I'm saying, on how you want to serve me when I already gave you the understanding on how to serve me. I told you to kill off all these people and the animals. That's what I told you. I commanded you. But no, in your own mind, you created, I'm going to save the best of these animals and give them to the Most High God as a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Some people might look at that and say, what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
Just like the sacrifice where we always talk about with Adam and Cain. Cain and Abel. You know, and the vegetation sacrifice he gave to the Lord.
People a lot say, that's better.
That's
He's
better.
Not killing no animals.
Yeah, it's vegetation. This he ain't killing no animals. No, you can't create in your own mind that I'm gonna give a vegetation offering. You can't do that. The Most High God said that was sin in the eyes of God. That was a sin. Why? Because you were supposed to do what Abel did. And sacrifice that animal.
You got to serve him the way he tells
because
you.
Because I told you to serve me this way. Okay? So the laws were always around even back then. Even like the laws are still around even right now. But a lot of people don't understand that you got to follow the laws through Christ. He fulfills certain things that people don't understand, but we have to still follow. We can't come up in our own vain imagination and say, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? Read that again. Verse 22.
And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.
Now check that out. To obey my voice is better than any sacrifice you're talking about. Because I told you what to do. So please obey my voice. Read on.
And to hearken than the fat of rams.
Read.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
So you want to be rebellious? You're serving witchcraft. You're into witchcraft. That's what the scripture says. So if you don't want to listen to the voice, so guess what? If you don't want to serve Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, you don't want to serve these days, guess what you're doing? You're serving witchcraft.
Yeah.
You want to serve Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, and all these things. He did not ordain these days. So guess what you're serving? Witchcraft. Read on.
And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
So you want to be stubborn? So he's letting you know you want to be stubborn? Iniquity is going to sin. You're committing a sin. And on top of it, you are serving idolatry. Now it became your idol. You want to serve this pastor in your church that's telling you to do something opposite than the Most High God? He became your idol.
Exactly.
That's what he became, your idol. You want to listen to a man or a woman or a child, whatever you want to listen to, or your vain imagination in your own mind, create something? You're serving idolatry. You're a witch. You're serving witchcraft. That's what the Most High God is saying in the scriptures. Read verse 23 again.
And what's a witch's craft? A witch's craft is dealing with spirits.
Exactly.
You're dealing with evil spirits that's moving on you.
Mm-hmm. Remember the scripture we went into in Isaiah 30 where it talked about you have a covering but not of my spirit. You took counsel but not of me. Because that spirit is from a higher place, which is talking about the wicked side, going right back into witchcraft, going right back to astrology, going right back to the sun worship, the moon, the planets, the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's what you're worshiping.
Going right back to Satan.
Right back to Satan. Read verse 23 again.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king.
So we're going to be rejected. So just like he rejected Saul. Saul was a king, man. He was a king. He was anointed king, man. What great honor. Now the Most High said, now, you don't want to listen to the words of the Most High. You don't want to listen to your Father in heaven. Guess what? We're going to remove you from being king. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise up someone that's going to listen to me. I'm going to raise up a man after my own heart, which was who? King David. That's what the scripture says. So he removed one and raised up another. Because he don't need you.
Yeah, same thing with us. He don't need us.
He don't need us. If we want to go into our own lust, what we're reading today, and don't want to listen to the Most High God, want to serve idolatry, he's going to kick us to the curb too. No different than he did Saul.
Exactly.
We ain't nobody but a mouthpiece, man.
Exactly.
That's all we are. We ain't nothing but a mouthpiece. I want to sum it up. You got another scripture you want to go into?
No.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I want to sum it up real quick. Let's go to go right back to Matthew's real quick, right? We're gonna read this one verse and then we're gonna move to another scripture. We're gonna go to Matthew's chapter 6. There was a point that I wanted to bring out before, but I didn't get a chance to. I might as well bring it out now. Read verse 20 and 21.
Matthew 6 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So he's letting us know our treasure's got to be in heaven. And people didn't figure all this out by now from the class what we've been teaching. The treasures is the laws, statutes, and commandments through Christ. All right? That's our treasures. We become that treasure. The more and more we keep the laws, statutes, commandments through Christ, each individual becomes that treasure that builds up that temple, you know, which is the temple of the Most High God. Because we, as the body of Christ, we are all that temple together, which is a precious, precious treasure. Procure your people into the Most High God. All right? So with saying that, I want to go to 2 Timothy's. With saying that, All right? We're going to go to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we're going to read, we're going to start at verse 19. We're going to read 19 through 21.
What chapter you
said? 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 19 through 21.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Mm-hmm.
And let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Just like we said earlier, you just can't put Christ's name up there and think it's okay to put his name on something that has nothing to do with him. It has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He was not born on December 25th. Why do you have his name up there? And you people out there know he wasn't born on December 25th, and you still saying, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. The Lord knows my heart. After this show today, hopefully you rewind it and listen to it again. The Lord knows your heart is wicked with him. So that's how come you need to repent and find out the origin of these so-called fake holidays out here in this world today, which is the worship of Satan, and repent, because don't put Christ's name up there. And then we keep repeating the same thing, even though homosexuals out there, there's churches that are set up where they even got gays and lesbians teaching the word of God and got Christ's name up there. And then they get married in Christ's name, they say. You can't put Christ's name up there. You can't do that.
You can't make an evil good.
You can't do that. So that's why you got to understand what it is that Christ wants. All right? I'll read verse 19 again, then you're going to read verse 20, but... Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Read on, verse 20.
But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
So stop there. So he's breaking this down in two categories. He's talking about something into honor, and then he's talking about something into dishonor. This is what's being read in verse 20. So we got to figure out, what does he mean by the gold, and what does he mean by the silver versus the wood and the earth? Read it one more time, brother.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver,
mm-hmm.
but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
So if you haven't figured it out yet, the gold and the silver is referring to the honor, and the wood and the earth is referring to the dishonor. Read verse 21. It'll bring it out a little bit more. Verse 21.
If a man therefore purge himself from these.
Yeah, to purge yourself from these. Did we go to Peter's earlier? We didn't even go to that. I want to go to that. We got enough time. Let me go to Peter's before we go back to that. Go to 1 Peter's. Go to 1 Peter's chapter 1. Scripture that I know you always go to. Read verse 6 and 7 real quick. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations.
Mm-hmm.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be...
Let it be tried with fire. So we read this all the time about the manifold temptations, which is going right back into your lust. We said it earlier. So many different examples that we explained today about homosexuals, about murderers, fornicators, idolatry. This is manifold temptation. We talked about how you finished bringing it out about idolatry, how it got a strong hold on you. And how that's your lust. You enjoy serving Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's a part of what you enjoy. So you got to fight that temptation off once you find out that it's not of God. So it's a hard fight. You got to fight it off. So that's manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith. So it's the trial of your faith that is that at that particular time that is dealing with the trial of your faith. Are you going to give in to temptation, or are you going to hold on to your faith, which is the word of God? Right, so it goes on to say, being much more precious than of gold that perish, right? Though it be tried with fire, because what's going on with gold when it's tried with fire, brother?
It's being purged, being cleansed.
It's being purged,
taking all the impurities out of it.
Exactly. So now in that fire, you being compared to that gold, you're more precious than that, right? So, but still being compared to it, But the thing that's being said is that now you got to purge yourself of idolatry. It got to be purged out of you.
Those are the impurities that's in you. Idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
The works of the flesh that we read in Galatians, the fifth chapter.
Exactly.
Those things have to be purged out of us.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 7 again. Actually, read verse 6 and 7 together all the way through. All
right.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation.
Heaviness. Heaviness, much worry, much tribulation. Read on.
So if you give it into it, you're not really in heaviness then.
Nah, you just gave into it.
Yeah.
Well, ain't nothing heavy about it. I just did it.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire,
mm-hmm.
might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Right back to that word honor, brother. It became honor. Right? Because you purged out those impurities, you became that gold, that fine gold, man.
That precious gold.
Yeah, man. Because why? The impurities is coming out of you. Idolatry has left you. Fornication has left you. You know, murder has left you. You know what I mean? So homosexual acts has left you. So now you're being purged and you're becoming pure. Now you're becoming honorable. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and read verse 20 again, right into 21.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
Read.
If a man therefore purge himself from these.
Right back to what we just said, being purged and impurities. So if fire goes through the silver and the gold, it's going to purify it.
Mm-hmm.
But if that fire hit that wood and that earth, it's going to destroy it. So it's not, you know, it's really clear on what the scripture is saying.
So there was a vessels of dishonor.
Exactly. So read verse 21.
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor,
mm-hmm.
sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
So are we going to be, Lord's will, we're going to be that vessel of the master's use, meaning the most high God's use. Because what is he going to do with a fornicator or a adulterer, brother, or an idolater?
He has no need of them. He's going to burn them up.
Exactly. Dang. But those that's going to get rid of that evil spirit that's in them, then he can use you. You can be used for the work of the most high God. Go ahead.
That's why we say, man, this thing is so clear,
mm-hmm.
but yet people are wrestling with it, man. It is. And we in the New Testament is telling you this.
Exactly.
People are saying that you don't have to keep the law. Then what the heck is this talking about if you don't have to keep the commandments of God?
What purging process are you going through?
How are you
going
to be purged?
What's the manifold temptation? What's the heaviness? You have to get rid of that old man to become that new man. You cannot be the same man and then call yourself new in Christ. It does not make any freaking sense. Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is call upon Christ, and I'm straight.
Mm-mm.
When the scripture said, whosoever call upon my name, let him depart from iniquity.
Exactly. It's crystal clear. You know, you got another scripture you want to go to before we go?
No.
So with that, basically, you know, that just says it in a nutshell. And Lord's will, you know, a lot came out dealing with this topic. The Lord knows my heart. And we got to make sure we know what it is that we're supposed to seek with our whole heart, meaning our mind. And David said it best, King David, that is. He said it best. And you know what? We end it with that. Let's end it with that.
Let me read this one more verse.
Okay.
Verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
This is our 2 Timothy is where we at. 2 Timothy 2:22.
Mm-hmm.
It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Good.
So what's that pure heart? That pure heart means your mind is being cleansed from all these evil thoughts and following the ways of this world. Your heart is dealing with your mind being cleansed from idolatry. Your mind being cleansed from fornication. Your mind being cleansed from the hatred and the variance.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we discussed about in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. We have to cleanse our mind of these things. All right?
Exactly. This is the last scripture I'm going to read. I got it. Psalms 119 and verse 34. Psalms 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So that's what we have to do. King David said it best. We have to observe the Most High God law, statutes, and commandments through Christ with our whole heart. So with that, we say shalom. I'm
giving all praises to the Most High in Christ for the wisdom and understanding he has given us. And shalom to everybody out there. Most High in Christ bless you, and thank you for tuning in.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thebocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thebocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.